Would you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, please? Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus, to the Christians there. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." What's your favorite all-time love song? None? From this moment? Okay. "I Can't Stop Loving You" by Elvis. All right. Okay. And there's a number of great love songs over the years expressing either husband-wife type love or friendship type love. I like the song "What the World Needs Now Is Love." And then, of course, Jackie DeShannon also did another song, "Put a Little Love in Your Heart." Yeah. Love your fellow man. So there's a lot of good songs that talk about love. And this week, of course, there's going to be a focus across the land, as someone said, either to sell cards or candy or whatever, but there's a big push on to just celebrate love. When I was a kid in school, a long time ago, you know, first, second, third grade, we used to have to take the little Valentine's cards in and, you know, gave them to everybody in a different class. I'll be honest with you, I don't think I ever gave one to a boy. You know, I was always focused on the girls, hoping that they'd give one back, but it didn't always happen. But just express love. Love, is it a feeling? Sometimes. Often starts out that way as a feeling, doesn't it? You have a certain feeling for someone. Is it an action? Quite often, love is expressed in action. Can love be a decision? I mean, you see that a lot occurring in some of these marriages in the Old Testament there. These people didn't know each other, and they're married, and they decide to love. The Bible commands us to love. The Bible commands us to love our fellow man, love our spouses, love our children. The Bible talks about love in many different ways. And how can you suddenly just manufacture a feeling? How can you just suddenly manufacture an action if there's nothing behind it? It has to come from a decision. God wants us to decide to love. We can't always... What happens to us in life, we can't always control, right? You can go to work one day, and they just tell you, "Hey, there's no work tomorrow. You're done." And that's it. Some of us have experienced that. You can think you have a wonderful relationship with someone, and tomorrow it's gone. It just falls apart, whatever. And same way with friendship type love. It can be a good friend and then all of a sudden not part of it anymore. Love has to be something you decide to do. You can't always bank on the circumstances in life. You can't always control what happens in life. So you've got to learn to decide to love. Here in this passage here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, he says here, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love." Live a life of love. Did you notice he didn't say, "If you feel like it," or "just go do it"? It's more of a command to decide to do it. You got to make your mind up. I'm going to love someone. I'm going to love country. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to love, and you can put on there whatever you want. How many of you would God say, in your reputation with God, how many of you would say God thinks you're living a life of love? Now, a lot of us live a life of purpose. There's certain things we're going to accomplish in life, and we go after it. Some of us live a life of kindness. You can tell that you're always known as a kind person, that's a very kind, gentle person. Some of us are maybe known not so lovable. We have a reputation of not being the most lovable person in the world. They're hard to identify that word with us. But the Bible wants us to be known as a person of love. And he says right there, be imitators of God, therefore as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. The word imitator. King James used the word follower, but it's not follower in the state of in the situation where someone just walks along and you're just kind of drifting along behind them. It means follower in the sense that you're trying to follow this person in action and everything, not just walking along. You got to be in. That's why I think why the NIV chooses the word imitator. When you imitate someone's actions, my brother used to love to imitate baseball swings. He got pretty good at it, and he'd get up there and he'd do a certain swing, and you might say that's a Mickey Mantle swing, or he'd say that's a Brooks Robinson swing, or something like that in baseball. So he got pretty good at it. Some of us imitate voices. Right now, for some reason, I got one granddaughter. Madeline is trying. When she speaks to you right now, she's not using her real voice. She uses this hand gesture. I don't know where she's got it from, but she's done this, and I have to keep saying, talk to me in your real voice. And then she'll put her hand down, talk in her real voice. It's got something to do with a hand. Right? But she's imitating something. We are to be imitators of who? God. And we're supposed to show that imitation best by living a life of love. So our main goal is to imitate God. Turn to the... Now, most of you know that John wrote several books of the Bible, five in particular. There's the Gospel of John, back with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then there's the three little books near the end, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then there's the book of Revelation. I want you to turn to 1st John, chapter 4. And you might want to hang on to that. We'll be referencing it several times. 1st John, chapter 4. Our main goal is to live a life of love. God has called us to do that. He wants us to live a life of love. So 1 John chapter 4, and the first part of verse 4 says, you, dear children, are from who? God. So if you're children and He's your Father, you should best have the example of how He would conduct things. We grow up in our homes, a lot of us look to our parents as examples of how to treat friends, how to treat our spouses, how to treat our children. That's why it's so important for all of us to try to be as Christian as we can in our home all week long, so that they will live that lifestyle themselves when they grow up. The way we treat our spouses, that's the way they're going to treat their spouses, unless they're taught different somewhere along the line. The way we talk about our neighbors or treat our neighbors, that's what they're going to learn to do. So we got to make sure that we're imitating God in every way, because we are His children. He's our Father. We pay attention to Him. We learn from Him. And then we copy the things that He says and does. So look at also in 1 John 4, verse 7. It says there, dear friends, let us do what? Love one another, for love comes from who? God. Everyone who loves has been what? It says they're born of God and knows God. So what is one of the key factors for being born of God and knowing God? It's the way you love other people, the way you share that love. Verse 8, whoever does not love does not know who. So if you don't love, you don't really know God. Because if you know God, then you're going to imitate God. He says, because God is love. And then go down to verse 19. Why do we love? Because He first loved us. Children learn about love from the womb. They hear the mama singing the songs. They can hear the things around them. It's been proven that they recognize sounds in the womb, especially as we get down to the final trimester and those type things. So they learn a lot. And then when they're born, they learn. They recognize voices. They sense that love. And what do they automatically do back because they sense love? They start loving back. So, I see them all the time. All these little children, whatever they're facing in life, they just automatically know who loves them, and they'll go right to them if they're having a problem. You know, I get a kick out of this. Once in a while, one of the grandkids will say, Grandpa, I love you. My natural tendency is to say, what have you done? But one of them says it so much, I just automatically say, I love you too. or once in a while for fun of them, I'll joke around and say, well, I can't blame you, I love me too, you know, that type thing. But that's just having fun with them. They'll do that all grandpa thing. So love is something that we need to do to imitate God. And you see, where did love originate in this world? If there was no God, there'd be no love. If there was no God, there'd be no love. We need God's love, and we therefore share that love with others. So there's that main thing. God wants us, at the end of the day, and all through the day really, but at the end of the day, you should be able to sit down and say, I shared God's love today with everybody around me. Now, he then gives an example, in case we're not sure, going back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 2. He says there, I'll read again so I don't interrupt the sentence. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So what is the great example that every one of us has in regards to love? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And just in case you think he gets too far away from the Father, what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that He gave us His Son in sacrifice. So you got God loving you, you got Jesus loving you. What does John 15:13 tell you about love? Greater love hath no man than this, than he do what? Lay down his life for his friends. Jesus sacrificed on the cross for us. Now, I don't know how far your love for me would go. I don't know how far my love for you would go if our sacrifice of our life was required to demonstrate that love or to somehow pay a price for that love. I don't know how far it would go. I say I would do it. You say you would do it, but where's the proof when the time comes? It's if you actually do that. Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross as the sacrificial Lamb of God, the only one whose blood could get rid of our sins, after being tortured terribly, horribly, after being just put up there in a horribly beaten state, He hangs up there. Now, who's hanging on the cross? Jesus, God, Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. What does God have at His disposal? You've heard the song too? Yeah. He's got everything. What could Jesus have done from the cross at this horrible world that stuck Him up on the cross for their sins? What could He have done for them? What could He have done to them if He wanted? Michael, lead those hosts of angels and come down here and just slay every one of them. Hey, look, let's do another Sodom and Gomorrah. Let's fire down some hail and brimstone on them. Hey, let's do what we did in the desert. Let's open up and swallow them up. Let's do like we've done some others in situations. Pharaoh's army. That's the type of God they could have been at that moment. But what did Jesus choose to do? He loved us enough to stay on that cross. And He took love to the ultimate to me. When He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How many of you struggle with forgiveness? All right. We're either doing it right now or we've done it in the past, right? We've all struggled to forgive somebody. I know there's a couple people in my life that I haven't completely let it go yet. Yeah, bring back Elsa there. Let it go, let it go, let it go. In case you don't know, she was quoting Rocky from Rambo. No, you don't remember that? He said it, let it go, let it go, let it go, 3 times. So, anyway, shows you what I get into. But there's a couple people in my life, I need to let it go. I need to do that forgiveness thing. Whether or not they ask for it or not, I need to let it go. Because in order for me to best represent God to everybody else, and to let God know He's first in my life, I need to love enough to forgive. I need to do that. I need to love enough to extend mercy. We've talked about this some recently on some of our Bible studies and things. What's the difference between mercy and grace? It's a subtle difference. But mercy says, you deserve something, but I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to let you off the hook. you got your mercy. But grace says, not only am I going to let you off the hook, I'm going to make you a child of mine. I'm not only going to forgive you and let it go, I'm going to give you a robe and a crown and a place in heaven. Something you entirely do not deserve. That's an ultimate love. And we're supposed to be extending mercy. We're supposed to be extending grace. We're supposed to be kind and gentle and loving. We're supposed to do all that. Is it hard? I mean, it is hard. There's times when I want to just take a stick and beat somebody. I'm no different than anybody else. Anybody else ever feel that way? Now, some of you are saints. Some of you are ultimate saints. And no, Ron, I would never do that. I would never do that. I got a little Cupid doll I stick things in, but I wouldn't hit him with a stick. We all know how hard it is. Somebody tells you, hey, would you come to work for me? I want you to come work for me. And I promise you, yeah, they're laying a lot of people off across the land right now. Things are tight, recession, all that stuff. Would you come to work for me? We won't lay you off. 3 months later, what are you? Laid off. I'm sorry, I didn't know how things... That's not what you said you were going to do. And it's hard to forgive somebody who lets you down like that. It's hard when somebody hurts you. So we're supposed to love. God wants us to love. That's our goal. And the great example of that type of love is what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Going back to 1 John chapter 4, some verses I did not read between some of the others there. Go back to verse 9. 1 John now, chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, what does God do? God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. We need to work on forgiveness. We need to work on grace. We need to work on mercy. We need to work on extending these to others and accept it from others. You know, when someone says they're sorry for something, what should we do? Accept it. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, if they stole from you one time and you forgave them, they stole again from you another time and you forgave them, what are you probably not going to let them do? Be around your stuff, right? So there is some guards you'll put up, but that doesn't mean you still can't love them. Give them an opportunity to redeem things. So He's our great example. He gave Christ to die on the cross for us, and Christ stayed up there for us. Now, going back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. Again, reading into it, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a what? Fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is described as a fragrant offering. What does that mean? Have you thought about it before? What does it mean? Well, in those days they offered incense and sacrifices. And as it would drift up to heaven, God would take it in, and He was pleased with it. There was times when people offered offerings that was not accepted. You remember the priests in the Old Testament, the priest's sons, one of them, they both offered strange fire. What did God do? Dropped them right on the spot. So we just can't offer up anything and say, God, hey, take it or leave it. Because you're just telling the guy that's over all of us, you do understand what I could do? Take it or leave it. You're the one's going to have to worry about taking it or leave it. God wants us to offer up our love as a fragrant offering to Him. He's happy when he smells the offering, for lack of a better term. He's happy when He sees the offering. It pleases Him. I don't know what it's like to see God smile, but I want to make sure He's happy. Anybody here ever give your dad a gift or your mom a gift, and they just made you feel special because you gave them that gift? Anybody ever had that happen to you? You know, just, you know, a little boy one time gave his dad a pocket knife that he had engraved with I love you on it. Man, that big, strong, strapping dude, he just began to cry because love was expressed that way to him. God wants us to offer love. Love your neighbor. Love your family. Love your spouse. Love your enemy. Just pour out all kinds of love. John chapter, this time the book of John, chapter 15. Verse 9. Jesus says here in John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 15, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this. What are we to do? Love each other as I have loved you. Every time you don't think you can love somebody, picture Jesus. Every time that you don't think you can do it, listen to Jesus say, I need you to love. Whatever the situation is, I need you to express love. It's hard sometimes. And there's some times when you might actually say, God, I cannot do it right now at this moment in time. I'm sorry that I cannot do it. It's breaking my heart. I know it's breaking yours. Just give me a day or two. Just give me a moment so that I can just think about your love more and more and more. So I can feel your love. So I can know your love. And help me to make that decision. There's times when we have to do that. It's hard. The more love you got, the more you're like God. The less love you got, the less you know God. It's clear from what God says in His Scripture. Well, what's the famous symbol for love? In America, what's the famous symbol for love? A heart, right? It's fun to watch little kids making their own Valentines once in a while. They know how to draw the heart. They know how to take the scissors and cut it out. They know how to fold it out. They know how to say, I love you. They know how to do that because they've been taught love and they want to express love. We are the children of God. Through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we have been taught love. Let's take our hearts out. Let's write on there, I love you. And let's express that love to others. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus as a believer. I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.